We're going to read God's Word today from John's Gospel, the beginning of John's Gospel. You may have noticed, I appreciate Brother Jerry bringing our new calendars. We have our verse on the calendar, John 1:1. So that is where we are coming to today in our scripture reading, the first chapter of John. And we'll begin reading with the first verse of the chapter. Let us carefully consider the short reading here at the beginning, the very prologue of this gospel. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the close of the fifth verse. And we do desire that God the Holy Spirit would take this word and cause it to live with power. As we meditate upon it today, may it be an edifying word and even a saving word for the glory of God. We are looking especially at the first two verses, almost exclusively at the first verse as our text for today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. During the Protestant Reformation in France, 15-year-old Francis Junius was being educated in atheism. His father had become a very zealous Christian, a very godly man, and he was greatly concerned for his son's soul. So he took a New Testament one day when his son was not at home, and he placed that New Testament in his son's room with a prayer that God would cause his son to pick up that New Testament and read it. Well, in the good providence of God, Francis was moved by the Lord to pick up that scripture one day, and he turned over to John chapter 1, and he started reading. The Holy Spirit descended upon him with great power, with convincing and converting grace, as he began reading the very first verse of this chapter. And he was meditating on that verse, thinking about what was being said in it. And Francis not only was converted to the Lord and became a believer, but he forsook that atheism and he began to study the Word of God in preparation for being a minister. He moved from France up to a place called Geneva, Switzerland. And he studied under a man named Calvin. And Francis Junius became one of the bold preachers of the Reformation. He preached not only in Switzerland, also in Belgium, in the other low countries, especially in Holland, and in Germany. He had a powerful ministry in the city of Heidelberg, Germany. And it was the Lord causing him to read John 1, verse 1, and his life was forever changed. As we begin yet another year in the will of God, let us begin at the beginning, because John 1, 1 is beginning again at the beginning. Here is our motto text for the year 2016. we have been thinking this December about the Word. In verse 14 of this chapter, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ's incarnation. But now, let us meditate on the Word Himself. Who is Christ? Let us notice three things in particular in this first verse, and it's also reflected in the second verse. First of all, we see when the Word was. In the beginning was the Word. Secondly, not only when the Word was, but where the Word was. Where was the Word? The Word was with God. And then finally, who the Word was. The Scripture is very plain. And the Word was God. This term of the Word was one that especially John used. He used it more than the other writers in the Holy Scriptures. And, of course, he uses it in his first epistle as well as in the book of the Revelation and here in the Gospel. So, first of all, let us consider when the Word was. In the beginning. Here, Holy Inspiration takes us back to the very beginning of time and space. And this is boggling to our minds. We've reached our limit. We find it difficult to understand before the creation, because the beginning was the beginning of God's creation. God making time. God making space. Before the creation of all things, there was only the ultimate one, God Himself, in the three persons of the Holy Trinity. John begins this fourth history of the Gospel the same way Moses begins the first book of the Old Testament. Exactly the same. The Hebrew word that Moses used is identical in its meaning with this Greek word that John uses in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is very amazing. It is the very way that God communicates to man. Some of the modern versions of Scripture say they're concerned so much with the thoughts of God, but the only way we can know God's thoughts is by His expressing them in real words that we can read, that we can hear. And that's the way we think God's thoughts after Him, by the revelation of His thoughts in His words. Now, in the beginning was the Word. This Word has a verb associated with it. And this verb is used several times, was. And that word was is very important because was is in the Greek imperfect tense. Now, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with that tense. It's very interesting in the study of Greek. You have the imperfect tense, the perfect tense, the pluperfect, the aorist, the present. It goes on and on. But the imperfect tense simply means action in the past that is continuing. Now, what does it mean? The Word was. In the beginning, the Word was. That is, it was already existing. Already when the beginning was marked, the Word was existing and continuing that existence. In eternity, the Word dwelled with the other members of the Holy Trinity. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting the Word is God, and evermore the same. Beginning. Beginnings. Here we are coming up to another beginning. There are so many beginnings in life. There have been the beginnings of several new young lives in this congregation in the year 2015. We see one of those little precious babies right there. And I know there are others that I can't see that are in here. Some of them are covered up and somehow managing to sleep while the preacher's preaching. But we are thankful for these new lives that have had a beginning. And as we come to the beginning of the year 2016, oh, how we need a new beginning in our relationship with the Lord. We think about our sins and our failures, and we can easily recount some of those over the year 2015. You know, we've had almost finished our 365 days in this year. We have a few more left. What do we have left? Do we have today and then four more? So we had these many days. And how did we do in those days of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind? You know, we have that command given not only in the Old Testament, it's given very clearly in Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. There it is, the commandment of God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. But the question is, where is even the desire to endeavor to love Him more and to obey Him more? There we see something of the need that we have of God's quickening grace as we face the new year. We need more devotion. We need more prayer. We need more Scripture. We need more love to Christ in 2016. Because what is your relationship like with the Lord even at this moment? What has your relationship been like with Him in the year 2015? What do you want your relationship to be like with Him in the year 2016? Well, it's time right now to take action in regard to that. What are you planning to do to improve your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 2016? You've got to make some plans. You need to make plans now. What am I going to do with the Lord as the Lord gives me days in the new year? I'm very thankful that sitting on my desk, there is a new devotional book that I have never read before. And I just want to tell you, we have provided several devotional books right in the library. There's a table. And on that table are at least 9 different titles and probably 16 different books that are available, and they start at the exorbitant price of $1, and they top out at either $13 or $14. There are several hardback ones, there are several paperback ones, whatever you like. But we must take the opportunity. We must take advantage now of preparation for the new year, because it will be here. And we need to read. We need to read God's Word. And these devotional books will help encourage us to get into the Word in this new year. We need to be challenged to do right. We need to be shining lights in the midst of a dark world. We need to think God's thoughts after Him instead of allowing sinful fantasies. I have been appalled to read a very good book published by Moody Press, and it's simply the testimonies of pastors of what different people in the ministry have allowed in their thought lives. that ultimately destroyed their marriages and destroyed their families. We have to obey the Lord and bring every thought captive to Christ. If you are not willing to bring your thoughts captive to Christ and let Him be the master of your thoughts, then you can put a question mark over your relationship to Him. We have this responsibility as we look forward to the new year, not allowing even the vain thoughts of this passing scene of time to take supremacy over the great matters of eternity. So we have a beginning. And I kind of got sidetracked thinking about the beginning. But when was the Word? In the beginning. And where was the Word? Secondly, with God. The Word was with God. Now, the Word, being with God, points to a personal distinction. He was there with Him. You see that? He was with God. And if you read, going down and you read verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Who is the Word? It is Jesus Christ, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, was there with the Father before there was a world. There's a personal existence here of one person being with another person. The word for with is also a very important word in the Greek New Testament, for the word is not the most common word for with in the New Testament. There are probably 10 different Greek words that are translated with at different points in the New Testament. But this is not the most common word for with. And John only uses it 4 times in his writings. He uses it right here in his 5 books. He uses it only 4 times. He uses it here, and he uses it later on in 1 John, I believe it is. Now, this is a wonderful word. It describes Christ's relationship with God the Father each time John uses this particular word. For you Greek students, it is pros. Now, it literally signifies being in the presence of, toward, or before the face of. And what a wonderful picture that is. Face to face, the Father was with the Son. Face to face, the Son was with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Face to face with them from all eternity. Perfectly at home with one another. I'll never forget, we used to watch, when we got married, my wife and I, we had a covenant that we would not be controlled by the one-eyed monster in our home. We had seen what the effect of it was in some of our families from the past. I remember one day my dad took his television out and sat it on the edge of a ledge in the woods, and he got back and he shot it several times with a .22 rifle, and he kicked it over in there and see what you've done to our family. And there was then no other television in my dad's lifetime in the home. And I was very thankful at that point in time. But we made a little covenant that we wouldn't do that in our home. So we used to, we have a television, but we only used it to play select DVDs and videos on. And I remember one of them was a Little House on the Prairie, and Michael Landon, whoever he was playing there, Paul, was saying to his wife, wherever you are is home. And that is pictured so well in this Greek preposition, because here are the persons of the Godhead perfectly at home with one another in the sweetest, totally sufficient communion that you can ever imagine and even beyond what we can imagine. From all eternity, they had enjoyed this sweetest, intimate, totally sufficient communion with one another. It's described in Proverbs chapter 8. It's a daily delight, called a daily delight. Put in language so we can understand it. There were no days with God. 1,000 years with Him, or as yesterday when it's past. But He put it in language that we can understand, that every day there was delight between the persons of the Godhead. There was rejoicing always in thoughtful fellowship with one another. Now this opens a great vein of meditation for us. I better not take it as far as I did that last one. But God absolutely had no need for us at all. God absolutely had no need for us at all. There He was in the vastness of eternity, the eternal God enjoying fellowship with each of the persons of the Godhead so sweetly and intimately. There was nothing on the horizon that would cause any thought of evil or anything but righteousness and holiness and perfection. And He was perfectly satisfied in the purity and the flawless righteousness of Himself and the other two eternal persons. There were no disappointments in each other. And God, out of His own grace, out of His totally free grace, God chose to make man and to express His greatness, His goodness, and His majesty in creation. And then out of that totally free grace, God sent His own Son into a wicked world, a corrupt world, to seek and to save the sinful sons of men. That He would stoop to the lowest shame and to the lowest suffering and the most horrible circumstances to deliver nasty, rotten sinners is a most amazing thing. How can we ever cease to praise Him for this? Even when we are suffering under the most difficult providences, we should still be thanking Him and praising Him for His goodness. For He reached out to give us the experience of life, but as God's people, to give us eternal life. Well, we come finally to who the Word was. We've looked at when, in the beginning was the Word, where He was with God. And now we have a most wonderful statement at the end of verse 1, and the Word was God. It's wonderful to look at all the Greek texts, whether it's the majority text, the critical text, the received text, they all say it the same way. It's literally this, and God was the Word. And God was the Word. Clearly identified as deity, the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing less than God. He is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the co-eternal, the co-equal, the co-essential, and the co-existent God with the Father. Do you remember Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Are one what? We are one essence. We are one in equality. We are one in existence. We are one in eternity. Praise God for who He is. God is the Word. The second person of the Holy Trinity is the one who speaks for the Godhead. He is the one who manifests and reveals God to us. He is the revealer. He is the Word that speaks to us from God and the God that has spoken. At creation, all things were made by Him. In providence, He rules now with all power in heaven and in earth. In redemption, He has finished all the work that the Father gave Him to do to purchase our salvation. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, we read, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. We rejoice that God has not left us in the darkness of hopelessness, but He has spoken to us in His Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. The same was in the beginning with God. As Bishop J.C. Ryle, the great Anglican minister, pointed out in the 19th century, this one verse refutes three of the major heresies that have plagued the church since ancient times. This one verse. First, the Arians who denied Christ's equality with the Father, they taught that He was an inferior, that He was a creature. Well, secondly, verse 1 refutes the Sabellians who deny the three distinct persons of the Holy Trinity. And the Word was with God. This speaks of the distinct persons with each other. So that refutes Sabellianism that we have so many of them around us here in Morgan, Lawrence County, and all around. Oh, yes, it's all Jesus. Just another way Jesus expresses Himself. No, it's not. They're not different modes of expression. They're different persons. This person was with the other person. Okay. Thirdly, verse 1 defeats the Socinians and Unitarians who boldly deny Christ's deity. They teach that Christ was only a man, but the best man of all. No, He's more than a man. He is God. The Word was made flesh. And who was that Word? And God was, and God is the Word. In this text, Jesus Christ is not presented as the Son, but as the Word. Here, the main thought is not the love of God, but the mind of God. God not only loved us from eternity, but He also thought on us from eternity. He thought on us as intensely as He loved us eternally. No wonder young Francis Junius was so amazed at John 1, verse 1. He spent the rest of his life serving God, the Word, and defending the saving gospel. Let us as well stand for the blessed gospel against all the falsehood of the times for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. We thank Thee, our loving Father in heaven, that there was a beginning, that Thou hast given us the privilege of knowing the blessings of Thy creation in time and space. But Lord, how much greater is the blessing that Thou hast given us the privilege of being the sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ, so that we not have a mere existence on this earth in a corrupt age. But Lord, we thank Thee that we have the glorious prospect of being with Thee, enjoying Thee in some sense as Thou hast always enjoyed communion between Thy holy persons. O Lord, bless the truth to us as we look forward to this new year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.